Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. If you'd like to learn more on how to communicate directly with plants, visit www.learnplantlanguage.com to register for the free workshop. That's www.learnplantlanguage.com. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I am deeply honored to introduce our next guest to the show today. Renee K. Smith is a flower essence and Reiki practitioner and the founder of Akika Flower Essences, an apothecary. Akika Flower Essences was created to explore the ancestral practice of tuning into plant intelligence as a tool for transformation, healing, and empowerment on one's soul's journey. As an Ayanifa and Olorisha, initiated to Ifa and Egbe in Nigeria, Renee also uses the knowledge she gains from her spiritual practice to assist her clients in finding and maintaining balance in their lives. So Renee, thank you so much for joining us today. Such a delight and honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So could you introduce us a little bit to you and your work as well? So incredibly powerful.
Sure. So my name is Ifagbaye Eshibola Ayelagbe Besina Renee Kimberly Smith. I am the daughter of Maureen Smith, of Stephen Tyson, and of Dr. Richard Smith. I am the granddaughter of Brodel Anderson and of Cecil Smith, of Hilda Benoit and of Eddie Benoit. I am the great-great-granddaughter of Edna Tyson and Stephen Tyson. And so I introduce myself in that way because it is very important that I call on those who came before and acknowledge that they've given to the world, but also that I understand that the work that I do is also paving the way for those who come after. That in the period of time that we're here on earth, it is very important that I'm also being very clear about the steps that I'm taking so that what I'm leaving is also ensuring that the earth is better than how it was when I first came, and that I'm also passing on that knowledge. So that is really the key to the work that I do, and I'm always honored by it. And yes, I am the founder and the lead practitioner at Akika Flower Essences and Apothecary. We are located in Brooklyn, New York, and I am just elated to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So incredible to connect and just learn more about what you're doing. And clearly you are so connected with so many ways of working with the plants. And I'd love to hear more about how, in your experience, how do indigenous methods for connecting with the earth create healing and promote balance in our everyday lives?
So one of the things that's really incredible about my journey is that I've had the opportunity to learn from some amazing elders. One of them is Dr. Buseki Fukiao, who was a Kikongo scholar from Congo. And one of the things he taught us about was the Bantu cosmology, right? The way in which we actually look at the world. One of the things that's really important to think about when you look at indigenous culture is that in indigenous cultures, we think about the we. Right? We're thinking about our community. We're thinking about how we fit in community. And the community includes the earth, right? We learned from the way the sun rose, the way the sun set. We learned from how the stars move. We learned how the water comes, how the tides come in, how they go out. We learned from the way in which the seeds would grow and where they would grow. All of those things were the way that we lived in the world. And we were looking at that as our guide for what our next steps needed to be and how we interacted with the world. One of the things that Dr. Fukiao also taught us was that our ability to heal, right? Our ability to heal is not outside of ourselves, right? There's a concept called Kininga, which is the finding the balance, right? And the balance is, it exists in us, right? That we have seven different directions that we can go. We can go up, we can go down, we can go left, we can go right, we can go forward, we can go back. But the place where we are finding our healing is inside. It's that moment when we look all the way in to really start thinking about, well, how do we want to show up in the world? And what are the things that we want to leave here as part of our legacy? And so those concepts are the first things that teach us about what it means to be balanced. Because if we look at the way the world works right now, we would think that what balance is going to work every day and coming home, going to sleep, and then doing it all over again. And we find that people burn out. You know, one of the reasons why they burn out is because that's not their life calling. What they're doing isn't bringing joy and happiness and understanding to the world. And so that is part of the reason why people burn out. It's great to have money, but is money all of it? The other piece that it teaches us is that healing exists within ourselves. And this, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years has been the thing that has really pushed me to continue studying and moving with the plants. Because we have so many people who are dying from cancer or dying from, you know, all types of diseases that are coming up for them. And so one of the things that I know in my practice, I always talk about, you know, that dis-ease is the beginning of disease, right? That disease begins in the body when we have dis-ease and we haven't figured out where to go. And when you don't know where it should go, it then lives in the body somewhere and then it becomes disease. Right. So the cancer that's showing up now is not a cancer that just showed up. It's showing up because there's been some things that have been going on that we haven't addressed. And so it has no place else to go. It's going to live in the body. And so how do we find that balance? How do we ignite that spark? And so I talk about not being a healer as much as being an alchemist, because I think everyone is a healer. Every single person is a healer. You're your healer. But my job as an alchemist is to help you understand what tools to use to get you to that transformation point. And sometimes it's a flower. Sometimes it's an herb. Sometimes it's just drinking water. Sometimes I need you to go outside. My daughter said to someone the other day, go outside and touch some grass. And you would say, oh my gosh, that's from a child. But she actually knows something. Go outside and touch some grass. I just need you to commit to doing that every day and we will be okay. Those are the indigenous practices that keep us understanding and understand that, you know, our wellness is to community, right? If I am well, then you are well. If I am not well, then you are not well. And so those concepts are really big, because when you can understand that reflection is always happening, you're also very aware of what you're putting out in the world and how you're receiving it. And so that's the first place that we're looking at. When I look at indigenous practices and tools, I'm looking at those concepts, because when those concepts are understood, they then give us a different understanding of how to actually move in the world. And that begins our healing process. And that also that it's a process that you're going to come back to it a couple of times and it's okay. It's not an eraser or paper where, you know, you write it down and you're drawing and then you turn over and turn it and you go and it's gone. You're going to have to come back to it. There may be another, it's an onion. You done peeled one part away. Now you're aware of it. And now it's like, okay, what we got to get even deeper. We got to understand why. So yes, I hope I answered your question.
Absolutely. And I love that you just brought up the onion layers of healing. So important. And these other three things that you just shared as well, how our ability to heal is not outside ourselves, how our wellness is connected to community, and how the earth is a part of our community, a very essential part. And so, you know, recognizing that here we are existing in this time on the planet, how do we restore our relationship with the earth now?
It starts with us recognizing that we are in a reciprocal relationship. That's the first place, right? This understanding that we have had as humans that we are better than, and that part, if we can let go of that, that's our first thing, right? Because I often will say, you know, what you are seeing in plants today existed from the first seed that ever existed in the first time on earth. Can you imagine the amount of information it's pulling forward? We haven't been around that long. The plants have been around longer than us. So we're witnessing history every day. You know, that saying that the earth is an ancestor. We're witnessing and we're communing with that every single day. So that begins the first place. I think the second place, again, is this idea of being able to communicate. Our third eye has been like gunked up for so long that we forget that there are other ways in which we communicate with the world. And one of them is with plants. Yes, you can talk to a plant. And if you sit there and do active imagination long enough, it will talk back to you. Why is that important? Because it gets us out of the fog of us believing that we're the only sentient beings on earth. And that can't be it. You know, I come from a spiritual tradition that believes that every single thing that exists on the earth did their spiritual work and exists for a purpose. As much as I may not like the roaches, I got it. They did their spiritual work. They're here. I can't be mad at, you know, I can't be mad at the ants. I can't be mad at the stick. I can't. Why? Because they did their work. And so they came with a purpose. It may not be a purpose I like, but it's a purpose. And so, again, this understanding that community exists not just in our human community, but that we're in an ecosystem that requires us to be in community so that we can have balance, right? Because when it's not in balance, what happens? We have drought. We either have too much water, we don't have enough water, right? We have too much food, we don't have enough food. It's the lack. When we get to the lack is when we're paying attention that something is wrong. But it should be before it gets there, we should be getting signs that something is going on. So I think that's the first thing, right, is to really understand that we are in a reciprocal relationship. I think the second thing with restoring our relationship with plants is just being able to be caretakers of them. Even if it's a little pot that you keep on your desk or in your room, or that begins that opportunity for you to restore trust, right? When we, you know, and being able to be in nature. You know, it's hard when we live in cities because in our cities, you know, the cars, the streets, but I always like to tell people, especially in the summertime, it's really beautiful. You'll see concrete everywhere. And all of a sudden this little plant is growing up in between the concrete. It happens in New York all the time. You're like, how's that? Because you don't have to tell plants to find the sun. They do that automatically. That's the one thing we're always learning, right? It doesn't matter. They'll do it automatically. So how do we start to harness that so that we are able to have something that we can observe and see and take care of? And that brings us into a larger relationship with everything that's going on with the earth. I think those are the biggest ones. And then us really getting into nature.
Yeah, that's essential. Absolutely essential. Thanks for sharing all that. I love what you were just sharing there too about the importance of being in reciprocal relationship and how this is so, it's just so important. It's so, so, so important. It's so important for helping us to come into an experience of alignment with what it means to really be alive on this planet at this time, and also joy and also magic, that there is really this experience of magic that occurs when we are in community with the natural world. And I'm curious, specifically because you do work very closely with flowers and the flower essences, about your experience of flowers and really, you know, are flowers magical, or what is your experience in working with the magic of flowers?
They are so magical. And for me, the magic is twofold, right? When you can have the picture of a flower that starts restoring someone before they even get a chance to interact with the flower, you have to understand that there's magic that exists there. So in my practice, and the way that I was taught and the way that I like to continue, you know, moving in my practice, is that I will, you know, someone will come for a consultation and we'll have a conversation about whatever's going on. I'm not even pinpointing A or B. I'm just hearing what they're saying, and flowers will come up and I'll start writing them in my margins until we get to a place where I'll say, so where do you really want to, what do you want your intentions to be? And they'll give me some words, which helps me to kind of understand which flowers to pull out. And then I will take all the flower cards out and place them out, and sometimes they'll have like 20 cards, because I can just keep playing. And as I'm going through the card deck, sometimes they'll just say, pick me too. And so I'll just put them there and I won't know why. And then I go through a process with the client and I ask them to take a moment to close their eyes. And when they open their eyes, I want you to choose three flowers you want to dance with. And so they'll choose flowers that they're either attracted to, that their eyes go to. They may know the name, they may not know. They don't know why they're attracted to them. Once they've done that, then we'll talk a little bit about each of the flowers. I will tell you 100% every single time we do that, every card they pick, every flower they chose is exactly what they want to work on. They're choosing it. And so what I tell them all the time is it's not only that you choose the flowers choose you. And so this relationship that's starting to break, to begin just in your healing process, right? What you're saying you want to work on means that you both have that same intention. And so when I go to make the formula, I'm being very specific about, okay, these are the things you all are wanting to work on. And so many times my clients are always, they love that part. They're like, how do you, I said, I have nothing to do with it. I let you all choose. I put 20 cards down and you all choose this flower and it'll be the flower that's on point. Now I will choose a couple of flowers that would be, that could be our anecdote right there. You know, you come in and you tell me I need to break boundaries. I can give you century or, but I'm angry. I can give you river beauty. But some 9 times out of 10, they're not choosing our typical flower. That's not what they choose. They're always choosing something that is underlying that may not be that first thing. And so that's where I say the magic of the flowers and the magic of the plants exist, right? Because you may come in and be like, I'm just angry. But the flowers that you chose were all flowers around your confidence and the way you see yourself in the world. And so that tells me the flowers are, you're choosing the flowers and the path that you want to go to. And at some point we may get to the anger, right? We may talk to the anger a couple of rounds down the road, but at this point, there's a different relationship that you need to build in order for you to get to that layer. And so, yes, they are magical. And that's happening without me making the formula. So then 4 weeks, depending on how, you know, the person is, 1 week into the formula, I'll start getting text messages. What is in this flower juice? And I'm like, flower juice? What is in this flower juice? Just what you chose. All I do is sit there, put the geometry together, a couple of droplets in, and I get it to you. And I say a prayer before I give it to you in your hands. But what happens after the 4 weeks and watching people witness themselves and being able to understand that a transformation happened, but they're not sure what? Yes, flowers are very magical. And it's such a potent medicine that I think we've moved away from because we're afraid of facing ourselves. But in facing ourselves, we get to really live life at our fullest. And so I believe in it. I believe in the flowers. I believe in the plants. I believe that the medicine exists so that we can be balanced and that there's a flower for every single thing that we go through, right? There are the flowers that can deal with things that are acute. There are flowers that can be long-standing issues that can really help us to go through our healing process in a longer period of time. You know, I've even had the opportunity of working with an entire family. And they all chose we talked together first, and then each person had their individual sessions. And would you believe that that first round of flowers, every person chose one flower that was the same? Every single family member. I didn't do it. I just put the flower back out and they chose it every time. So it let me know, okay, there's something there about this flower and this family and what's going on at this moment that it wants to lead. So yes, I believe the flowers are magical.
Thank you for sharing that. Oh my goodness, so much in there. Wow. Incredible about that family, how they all chose the same flower.
All chose the same flower. And not only the same flower, but the same set and colors of flowers. So like they all chose tansy, which at the time was interesting because they were all talking about when they had the family meeting, it was, you know, we're feeling very lethargic in the pandemic. We're not feeling like we know we want to do something, but we're not being able to kind of move to the next thing. So I was like, oh, tansy, let me just stick it over there. I'm gonna leave it there. Every single person in their set and didn't talk about it. When they went to their separate and they got to choose their flowers, everyone's formula had tansy in it.
So interesting. And I love what you were saying too about how not only do you choose the flowers, but the flowers choose you. That is absolutely how I experience that as well, and how they really are working on these deeper layers. And also, like you were saying, you know, sometimes we'll think like, oh, I'm working on this certain kind of thing. And the flowers will say, well, wait, let's take it back a few layers and look at this underlying thing that's actually happening that maybe you're not even consciously aware of, and how they do that in such a gentle way. I feel like they really allow the shadows to come forward for us to work with them, for us to heal them in such a gentle way so that they actually can fully be released without say, for example, like introducing new trauma or something like that, then it's like we can actually fully heal them. And because you do work in these incredibly powerful ways with the deep transformation and healing, I'd love to hear more about your experience in how specifically the flowers and flower essences can assist with things like manifestation, healing, and transformation.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the first person to talk about when I talk about it. I also tell people, like, I talk about me. I use flower essences. I use flower essences with my family. I use flower essences with my mom. My mom is a cancer survivor. And so I had flower essences for her. She had herbal stuff for her. We had her on a regimen every day. And we talked about the things she wouldn't want to talk about, which, coming from a Caribbean family, there are lots of things we don't talk about ever. You take it to your grave. You don't find out until the obituary comes out. Like, oh, really? That's what was going on? Hence, dis-ease creates disease, right? And so really trying to work on what are the different ways that we can sever these ancestral ways of being that really aren't, that have been toxic, right? Let's not pass that down to the next generation. Let's start talking about how we feel. It's okay. You're not going to be judged. It's okay. And how do we make that work? So I think that is the first place. I think the second place is really watching and being able to create for people and having them respond to it and being able to witness themselves. That has been like, I always sit back and just go, yeah. And people are always like, it's you. It's like, it's really not me. It's the flowers are doing it. I just happen to be the person who's here coaching the process, right? And being able to watch someone who's been with me, has been a client for a little bit over 2.5 years, and being able to realize that there was some trauma and some toxicity that was sitting in the person who she was, but she was in a place where she no longer wanted to be that person. And being able to sit and take an essence one day and say, I literally had to tell that old person to sit down. I got it. And I said, yeah, right. You were able to take a moment, and it was all about the way in which we give ourselves space to respond, right? Because of the way she had been, her response was always right away. And it didn't give her enough time and space to say, is that what I really want to say? Is that what I really want to do? And feeling like sometimes when you didn't respond right away, that it was inadequate. And so we went through a process of trying to figure out, well, where was actually that inadequacy? Where did you first learn that? How far back can we go in your understanding of yourself to figure out what was that first touch point? Because that first touch point created an understanding in your logic brain of how you should respond. And we need to unravel that first, right? They have that in Bantu cosmology as well. We call it the knot, right? So in certain instances in our lives, we get into a place where a knot is created. And so we don't pay attention to the knot, but we keep going on. And then what happens? All of a sudden, we have all these knots and the string can't go all the way out because we have these traumas that are stopping us from reaching our full potential. So what do we have to do? We have to go back to the knot. We have to figure out what it was. We have to untie it. And then that allows us to really expand past our own limitations because of how we've been living in the world. So I've really been able to kind of see the flowers do that. I've been able to have people, what I say is, it takes a couple of cycles sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't, where people can really say, like, I was about to respond to somebody and then I stopped. And I was like, huh, you really witnessed yourself in that moment. And with that, you were able to make a decision that allowed for you to be where you want to be. And so I've seen it in that, because it's the personal piece first, right? Before we start manifesting in the world, we got to manifest in ourselves. Right. And so that's where it starts. It starts with our mindsets. And that's why I believe flower essences is such a powerful tool, because we're working on our brains, not just our physical brain, but our emotional, our intuition brain, on our three brains all at one time. This powerful droplet that's infused in water can really help these brains to create new pathways to the way we walk in the world. And that is absolutely amazing. It's amazing with the heart. It's amazing with creating. I always tell people, you know, someone may come to me and be like, I want to lose weight. Well, flower essences is not going to help you lose weight, but it may get us to the reason of why you're not able to keep yourself on a regimen. it may get us to the reason why you're not happy with how you look. Is this about your health, or is this about something else that's starting to influence the way that you think you should look in the world? And so we always talk about, like, what is that difference, right? Flower essences can help us with changing and creating the habit, which is different from herbs, which will help you to actually lose the weight. So I can give you the herbs to help you lose the weight. But many times when people come, that's actually not that. That's what they say, but that's actually not what they're after. They're really after, help me understand this mindset about myself. When I understand this, I'll make better choices. Those better choices will lead me to losing weight, not just on a scale of I get smaller, but that I actually feel better. And so that, again, that, okay, I'm just going to say it again. They're magical.
They certainly are. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that you were just sharing about that, how they really help with untying the knots and how they really help us be a gentle witness to our own process. And most powerfully of all, I think, really, like in what you were saying, how they help us to create new pathways for how we want to walk in the world. That is so powerful. It's such a powerful gift that the flowers, that the essences in particular, do really offer that. And, you know, I love too how in the example that you were just giving with the losing the weight, how it's like the plants can help on all the levels with that, right? It's like we can work with the herbs to actually help with losing weight. But then if we want to look at, okay, what's the pattern that's really getting us there, then working with the essences can help us go in deeper. So yeah, love that. And I'd love to hear, in your perspective, how do the plants and flowers really support you in your life's work?
They support me in every which way. The same way how I share it with others, I share it with myself. I share it with my family. Like I said, my daughter has coined flower juice. So she will tell me, like, if she hasn't had it in a couple, mommy, I need my flower juice. Okay. So we'll sit and she'll have her own session. I will even notice it. And so interesting, because I'm also doing the work and I'm in community and constantly moving, I literally said to myself, I was like, I probably need to make myself some essences. That's actually when I started the practice and when I started actually doing products, that is where the product piece came for me. Wanting to create an opportunity where everyone wasn't taking flower essences all the time, but that's where the essential oils and the sprays came from, right? So the open heart and the Speak Truth to Power actually came from a workshop that I was working with Planned Parenthood for Greater New York. They were working on a Reviving Radical project where they were really starting to look inside and do the shadow work as an organization around the harm that had been done by their founder to community. And so we had what was called a public hearing. And so in that hearing, there were lots of different people who were coming. There were people who were going to testify about some of the harm that was done to them. There were people who we just needed their hearts to open so they understood what was going on. There were folks like myself who were facilitating. So we needed opportunities to be grounded in the work and also to clear some of the stuff that we were also going to be carrying, because people are people and they carry energy with us, right? And so those were the first four that I created. It was open heart. It was speak truth to power. It was clearing and grounding. And it was listen and align. Those four sprays were created with those intentions, with flower essences and essential oils. And actually, they also have crystal elixirs in them. Some of them now have herbs in them as well that really speak to that power that plants have when they are then put into water, which is a great carrier of positive energy that you can speak into. And that helps us to kind of be able to transform in a moment, right? In that moment that I need that help, I can spray myself or spray the room and I know that it's going to help us dissipate energy or bring and call certain energies in. And so that's really how I started with that process.
Amazing. Yes. I love how you were just talking about how water is the universal carrier too. It's just absolutely incredible what can come through water. And so clearly your relationship experience work with the plants is so powerful. And so tell us, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Sure. My website, www.akika flowersessences.com. As I said, we are in Brooklyn. So 256 Healing Center is one of the centers that I work out of. And so here is where I can do in-person work. a lot of the products are here. And then I do consultations and so on and so forth. I do those also virtually. And I have a couple of clients that I do virtual work, and then I send them their custom essences and packages as well. Yeah, that's how people can get in touch with me. Oh, and ancestralintelligence@gmail.com. Sorry, I forgot. I have an email address.
Well, thanks so much, Renee. Just so incredible to connect today and hear about your experience with the plants and just the many layers of healing and joy and magic that they bring to the world. So thank you. Thank you for honoring your calling, for listening and honoring your calling, because it is so powerful. So thank you for doing that and for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I tell people all the time, it's really not me. And I think if I didn't answer, they would have created some way for me to still have the experience. I could have not answered, and I think I would probably be in a different place, but at some point we would have gotten here. And so I'm here, and I feel like this is definitely life work.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.